Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
It's really been a great week. I've been really seeking what God wants to do here this morning. I do that every week, but especially this morning. I've been down at the river praying, and I've got a full-blown message ready to go. But I'm just trying to follow the Lord's leadership as best I know how. And I want to thank you all for the week that we've had. Many of you were out at Kenwood, and how about the traffic this week? Mercy. But Thomas and Ellen were there every single night, early, staying late. Our parking lot attendants, and many of you, Andrew was there every night, and I thank God for God's people, and many of you were there every single night of the revival this week, and it was a powerful, powerful week. Had some great preaching. The worship times and the music was fabulous, and God spoke to a lot of our people. We only had one lady pray to receive Christ, but this week that revival that we experienced was not to see a bunch of lost people saved. It was to revive the church. And over, as best I know of, over a dozen people. I really don't like to use this word, rededication, because that's something I do. But over a dozen of our people came forward in a spirit of revival and renewal and asked God to do a fresh work in their life. And we call that rededication, recommitment, whatever we want to call that. And we had a lot of people come this week for prayer. And God moved in a great way in the prayer time. One of them sits right here, Pat Fuller. For weeks, her doctor, neurologist, and others have been telling her they potentially thought she probably had ALS. She came forward, I think it was Tuesday night of the revival, and we anointed her with oil and prayed over her. And the next day, her neurologist told her, "We don't know what you got, but you don't have ALS." And And there were many other people that came forward for prayer. And God answered a lot of prayers this past week. And you know what? If the church truly gets revived, we'll see a lot of people saved. Because that's what happens when God's people get right with Him. And I'm just trying to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Is there anyone who has a testimony about what God did in your life this week? Anybody have a testimony about what God did in your life this week? Glenn? Now, y'all, these are not times to preach, okay? All right? This is a short, sweet testimony giving God the glory.
It'll be short. One night, one of the pastors, I think it was Sunday night, he spoke a story. It's a true story about a little boy that went to the old general store in the late 1800s, and he wanted to buy candy with a nickel. And he asked the man at the counter, "How much candy can I buy with this nickel?" And the man said, "A handful of candy." So the little boy gave the man the nickel, and they both looked at each other and waited and waited and waited. And finally, the man looked at the little boy and says, "What are you waiting for? You know, I said a handful of candy." The little boy said, "I'm waiting for your hand to go in that candy for you to pull out a man's handful of candy." And the man did that and gave him a lot more candy than what was originally intended. And the purpose of that teaching was to say, we are reaching into God's heavenly candy jar with our puny little hands, asking for a little bit of candy. And God is saying, let my hand be the hand to reach in there and pour you out blessings beyond what you could ever imagine. That built my faith big time.
Others. Thank you, Brother Glenn. Anybody else? Now, don't anybody tell me I don't need that microphone. Yeah, you do. We're online here.
Would the prayer team stand up, please? If you're on the prayer team here at the church, please stand up. Okay, this month alone, I went through all my texts. I went on my account and looked. Just through the prayer team this month was 555 prayers. Just for the prayer team. So y'all reach out and just touch your prayer member and put your hand on them and say a quick little prayer for them to encourage them to keep praying for you. Because, you know, some of the prayer requests to me were kind of personal and kind of hit home. You know, we need the energy to keep praying. Dear God, please be with this prayer team and help us keep uplifting the church and praying for the prayer requests that's needed and that's sent to us. And thank you for Brother Kyle to be a pastor who put this prayer team together and help lead us through this tough time we have in this country, in this county and state, Lord. And be with us and help us keep praying and keep getting the blessings from you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name I pray.
Joe, anyone else? God did something in your life this week and you need to give God praise about it. Teddy Bigger, all right? I think Teddy was there every night.
I got a big mouth. You said I need this microphone, but anyway. I just want to say, you know, Kyle said that there was a half a dozen or so people that kind of rededicated their life. But I got to tell you, those are the people that came up front. I think there was much more than that that stayed in their seat and had that moment of rededication. And after listening to the pastor the last couple of nights, I just wanted to tell Kyle, he's got some tall stepping to do. So get busy with it, brother.
Anybody else?
For 3 weeks, I literally was living in fear because I was told I might have ALS. And just the blessing that I got from all the songs every night during the revival just really helped me tremendously. And then that prayer on Tuesday night, I mean, I wasn't supposed to see the neurologist on Wednesday. I just happened to drop by to see if I needed to do any paperwork. So when I did see him in November, I would be ahead of the game. And I really believe it was the Lord that said, oh, no, you're going to see him while you're here. And he actually had me come on back and took a lot of my history. And just his words of reassurance that I don't have ALS was really a God thing, because God made that appointment happen and me interact with him that day. And the sense of peace that I have, I can't even begin to explain. But I really needed the revival. The Lord really touched me in ways I can't even begin to describe. But I just praise his name and just thank him.
This fellow right here grabbed me when I pulled up Wednesday night on the parking lot. I saw somebody stumbling all over the curb to get at me. And it was J.D. J.D., tell them what's going on.
And I wasn't even drunk, okay? Drunk on the Holy Spirit. But I was one that came forward, and I, like he said, I went to the parking lot right where he was because, you know, God had been dealing with me all week. And we can all go a little deeper, and we can all reach a little further. And, you know, the church, we need to be all we can be for the Lord. You know, I'm almost 71 years old. I don't know how much more time I have to work for the Lord, but I ask him to do a work in me like he's never done before. Change me. You know, I pray every day for everyone in the church because I know that it is so important that the church is prayed over. And I pray for the church to get right. You know, the altar's up here, and we can sit down here in our seats and we can pray and we can talk to the Lord. And I understand all that. But there's something about going forward. The going forward shows the world that you are standing up for Jesus. You know, the things that we may have in our life that we need to get rid of, we don't need to carry them on. And so many times we let that bag get full before we take it to the altar. You know, God wants us to come to him each and every day. He wants us to come to him all the time, no matter how small it is. There's nothing that's too small for our God. There's nothing that is too large for our God. He can take care of the burdens that we have. Cal?
Thank you. Others, God did a work in your life this week and you want to give God praise.
Most of you know, when we got our new baby in September, things were really bad. They said she was paralyzed from the neck down. She was blind, she was deaf, and she was going to be vegetative for her whole life. Since we've gotten her, she can see. She can sit up on her own. She can hold her head up. She rolls over. She coos. And we saw her pulmonologist this week who said that they fully expected her to get pneumonia and die when she left the hospital. And her lungs are now perfect. And they have no concerns for her future at all.
That's pretty good. If you love the Davis family, say amen. Anybody else? Experienced the power and the presence of God this week. Didn't have to be at the revival. God's bigger than Kenwood community. Yes, here's Beverly over here. Beverly was there every single night. She also was there at 10 o'clock in the morning to help lead our prayer meetings under the tent.
And that's what I want to talk about is the prayer meetings in the morning. There was such a sense of readiness, such a sense of joy for the upcoming evening. We couldn't wait to see what the Lord was going to do. He filled our hearts so much with prayer and with thanksgiving in the mornings that, you know, we couldn't wait to get there in the evenings. So I just praise God for all that he did last week.
Anybody else? Yes.
My oldest sister called me and told me my youngest sister died. My oldest sister called me and told me my youngest sister had some heart issues and everything, and so they went in there, and they caused me internal bleeding and everything, and so she lost 2 pints of blood, and so they said they might life flight her or send her in an ambulance to Nashville and everything, because they couldn't handle it out here at Tenova. And so they went ahead and sent her to St. Thomas. And so she got up there, and I then called Cal about the situation. He said he's going to tell the prayer team and everything. So, you know, I was encouraged by that. But I tell you something sometimes that I do, because I really believe in what God can do and everything, but I'm reluctant to call somebody to tell them to pray for us and everything. And I was thinking, you know, hey, that ain't fair to my sister. I said, you know, I shouldn't feel like it. I should always call somebody to help me and help me pray. But anyway, took her to St. Thomas and everything. And so they done some more tests and everything. And it wasn't long, my niece, her daughter, called me and everything and told me, you know, that they found where the blood was coming out and everything. They put a belt around her to kind of stop the bleeding and everything. So I called her this morning, my niece, and asked her how my sister was doing and everything. And she said, well, they stopped the bleeding and everything. And so she'll probably get to come home today. And I said, well, praise the Lord. He sure is good. So I just thought I'd share it with you because I believe in prayer. So, love y'all.
How many of you love Dave and Carol? Woo, glory. And this couple was there every night, and Billy could hardly walk. His back was in such bad shape. And I just want y'all to know I love you. And I know I'm hard to put up with sometimes. I get that. But nobody prays for you anymore and loves you any more than I do. And I've got a pastor. His name's Roger Freeman. And he has COVID. And his wife, Priscilla, has an autoimmune thing. And, you know, she doesn't need COVID at all. And so what I'd like for us to do is lift up the Freeman family. That'd be okay. And Billy, why don't you pray for Brother Roger and Priscilla?
Lord, my heart, my heart is real tender right now. I can feel the power of the Holy Spirit here. And you rule here and you reign. This is your place. And Father, we just lift all these praises for this week to you, and we lay our burdens at your feet as well. And we intercede on behalf of Brother Roger, such a mighty warrior for you, saint of God. And I just pray, Lord, that you would touch his body, heal him, and that you would put a shield of protection around Priscilla, and that you would hear our cries and our prayers for healing for him. Protect them, Lord. He's one of your best. He's been a shepherd to so many of us in this room. And we love him, and we just intercede on his behalf. So I pray for his healing and for Priscilla's protection, Father. And pray that you would, please don't leave here. You're here now. Your spirit is so thick. Just sit down among us and have your way in this next couple of hours, however long we're here. We love you and we praise you in the great, big, strong name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
One of the things that blessed me Wednesday night was, you know, whenever God's doing something, there's a spiritual battle going on because the evil one does not want to see God do anything. And in the middle of everything, this is the only time she's ever done, this is Derek Simonis' wife. Y'all that know Jana know who I'm talking about. She's a pastor's kid. She's been around this stuff all her life. And she said, she grabbed a microphone. She looked at me and she said, I've never done anything quite like this. But she said, I know Glenn Kennedy can pray. And so, now, those of you that know Glenn know he's not Baptist. And that's not a bad thing, okay? And so he came forward and prayed over that service. And God moved in a powerful way Wednesday night. And there was just one thing after the next. And I've been praying that God would revive me. And about 3 or 4 weeks ago, God started doing that work in my life. And I stand here before God and tell you today, I'm closer to the Lord than I was. And by the way, it's not God who steps away, it's us. And so I've told God, if I'm the one holding revival up, take me out of here, get me out of the way. Do whatever you need to do with me, because that's what I desire for this church, that we would be on fire, passionate, everything that God wants us to be. And is there anything else? Anybody else just have a word? Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Yes. We're online. You have to.
Okay.
I'll hold it for you.
You're going to hold it for me? Okay. I want to thank Mary Margaret for dragging me to church all last week. I didn't feel like it. I couldn't walk, couldn't see, but I am so glad she did, and I praise God.
I thought I had the drug problem, but it's Nancy. All right. Anybody else have a word? Just a word. Yes, Taryn.
Tuesday night, I felt the Holy Spirit telling me I needed to pray for Pat. And I kept saying, no, I'm not going to go forward. You always go forward. Just stop. Just sit in your seat. And then the service was ending, or what I thought was ending, and Jeff extended the altar call and said, if there's anybody here that still needs to come pray, come do it right now. Don't go home. I said, okay, God, I hear you. And I went up there and I prayed for Pat, and the next morning she sent that text message that her neurologist had said it's not ALS. So.
Anybody else have a bad case? I can't help it. You want to give God praise today? Anybody else? Yes, Martha.
Hey, folks, we're online. And if you don't have the mic, they can't hear what's being said, okay? Thank you.
Well, I'd just like to say thank you to everyone in here, and especially Pastor Cal, because he's been so great to me. And my friend Ronnie and everyone, they have supported me in so many ways. And imagine a lot of y'all don't know where I'm from. But Ronnie, no, I'm from Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And I had never been to a church and so loving and caring since I left Hattiesburg. I had traveled all over the world, but coming here had made my life so much different. And they have made me more closer to God than I have been. And I don't know, but it's been such a beautiful thing for me to be here. And I was thinking about leaving, and I talked to Pastor Cal here. First I called my brother. I got 11 brothers, I'm the only girl. So I called Billy Ray, and I said, what should I do? And I told him everything about the church. He said, stay there. Stay there. And if y'all don't mind, you stuck with me. I just feel so welcome here. And then I want y'all to know I love all of you. It had nothing to do with color, because I got different colors in my family. As you see him, you say, who that black man with blue eyes? Who that black man with green eyes? Well, I have them. And you'll be amazed to see them, because you might run when you look at their eyes. But thank God for a loving man, Pastor Cal, and I know Reverend Freeman and his wife. And they're such a loving couple.
Love, Martha. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Good word. Anybody else? I was going to come over here and put this in your hand, but I thought I'm going to wait on Bill.
So a lot of you probably don't know, I'm the EMS director for the county, for Montgomery County EMS Ambulance Service. So I've had a lot of stress in my life for about the last month or so, worry because of staffing shortage. We've had to shut down two ambulance stations due to that. So at the end of the day, that comes back to me, and really wasn't sure what to do, how to bring staff in, come up with some type of incentive pay. So I want to put together a plan. It was a very substantial plan. I went to Mayor Durrett on Thursday morning. Well, first of all, I went down Wednesday night, rededicated my life, and asked the Lord to come into my life and give me some wisdom on what we need to do in regards to EMS and my life. And so I met with Mayor Durrett Thursday morning, presented my plan. He was on board 100%, no questions asked. Followed that meeting with an EMS special call committee meeting, and they were on board as well. And we went into the budget committee. And they had a couple questions, but they supported 100%. So we go before the county commission the first week of November to present this plan. And if it passes, and I'm pretty sure it will, then that should resolve our staffing shortages for Montgomery County. So, and it's because of him. It's because of him.
Julie, his wife Julie, came forward Sunday night on a spirit of recommitment. And then here comes Bill and Anna Grace. And they did the same thing, and they were letting go of some things and some things that had been hindering them in their relationship with Christ and one another. And, of course, Will hadn't been saved too long, but he's right in there with them. So God worked in a whole family there. Isn't that great? Amen. Amen. Anything else? Sometimes it's good. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And sometimes you guys need to say so. And so y'all are doing the preaching this morning. And now, I've got a full-blown sermon. If you want to hear it, 11 o'clock out at Kenwood, I'll be preaching it. So you can go out there with me. Anything else from anybody? Yes.
I just love the revival, and it was hard to get there overnight. You know, you say, the last night I wasn't going to go. I'm not going to go. Jesus, in my heart, yep, you need to go. Why are you going to go all week and miss the last night? And it was wonderful, and I just praise the Lord for all of the things that he has brought me through, knee surgeries and shoulder surgeries, and I had an accident a long time ago, and he brought me through that. So I just praise him for everything he's done, how wonderful and glorious he is, that he's always with us each and every day, and he never gives up on us and loves us, even though so many times we're not worthy to be loved by our Lord Jesus, the creator of the universe. And just think about that. I just think about it just for a minute, and I'm not going to preach, Cal, but the creator who made the moon and the stars, that we look up, and I say, Lord, I don't know why you love me, but I sure am glad you do. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
All right. Now, let me tell you, we are not here to make light of the fact that some of you weren't able to be at the revival, okay? And by the way, you don't have to go to Kenwood to have your own personal revival. You can have that with God each and every day. As the child of God, I don't need to get on that. But anyways, the Lord is moving, obviously. He's moving in our church, and we want to see revival in all its fullness. Can you imagine what God can do? Look what God did through 120 people in the upper room. What could God do through this small group of people right here? Amen. He could turn the world upside down. That's what he could do. But he wants all of us. Who had a hand up over here? Terry Perry. She had to bury her mama this week, so it's been a tough week for Terry.
Thank y'all so much for your love and support and prayers throughout this, and I know she's home.
Amen. Glory. Just because you're born again and saved, and just because you're experiencing revival in your life, doesn't mean you're not going to have tough times. But I want to tell you, with Jesus, the road is smoother. And he gives you wisdom, and he gives you strength, and he gives you power, and he gives you everything you need to get through those times. I don't know how people make it without him. And here's where I want to land this plane this morning. The last two verses that I was going to preach this morning talks about giving praise to God. And the worshiper had built an altar. Now, we don't need to build an altar because God built one on a hill called Calvary. Okay? But there is a sense in which we need to revisit the cross. An altar is a place to lay things down, to make sacrifice, to meet God. And the worshiper here in Genesis 35, he builds an altar and a pillar of stone and anoints the stone with oil, the pillar with oil, and pours a drink offering on it. And what that means is pouring oil on someone or something is a sign of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. How many of you know we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit? And then pouring a drink offering, normally that was done on an entire animal that was placed on the altar. And while it was burning, the worshiper would pour a skin of wine, a drink offering on that, symbolizing the full surrender of that worshiper. And can I tell you this idea that so many churches have today? I'm not sitting in judgment on anybody, but this half in, half out, half committed, half in, it is not scriptural. You'll not find that anywhere in the Bible. God's calling for all of us. By the way, He gave all of His Son to us. And so I don't know where you are today spiritually, don't know where you are physically or mentally or emotionally or socially or relationally, but I want to tell you, Jesus is the answer. And I'd like to have a time of just personal introspection this morning. We've got a couple of minutes to do that. And this is an old-fashioned altar. This is a place where you can revisit the cross and lay some things down and make sacrifice and give your whole heart back to the Lord. And so, Seth, you come and start playing something. And Brother Andrew, you start whatever invitational response song you were going to do, let's do that. But I want to pray for you. If you want what I'm talking about, the reason we ask people to come forward is not just so that others will know, but so that we can be accountable to them and they can be accountable to us. Yeah, you can sit there in the seat, but there's something special about coming forward to an altar for prayer, for sacrifice, for laying and down and forsaking idols. Let me pray for us. And then you do what God's telling you to do this morning. Father, I thank you for those that have given testimony today of what you're doing in their life. And I thank you for those who are here today and know that they need a fresh touch from you. That's a sign that they belong to you. And so God, that's the good news of the gospel, that anywhere, anytime, a child of God can come home. But we got to come home your way with a repentant spirit and with an attitude of total surrender, which spills itself out in radical obedience. So God, I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that today, every one of us would be all in. All in. Jesus is all in. And therefore, His brothers and sisters ought to be all in. And so God, do what only you can do during this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.